It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, July 30th. How are we doing this morning? Gorgeous day, cooler temps, lower humidity, perfect day for golf. And I'm just back from a golf trip to Ireland. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive Icefill cooling technology along with UPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. Whew, and I just got back yesterday, 5 days in Ireland. And on this trip, we focused on playing golf around the southeast of Dublin, southeast Ireland. The outskirts of Dublin, point south and southeast. And, you know, I normally divide Irish golf into a couple different regions, southeast, southwest, northwest, and north. And each region offers a variety of top links golf experiences and parkland courses as well. And the terrain varies in each region. But, you know, the constant is the quality of the golf and the hospitality of the Irish in welcoming Americans and ensuring that our visit is as wonderful as it possibly can be. And, you know, when people ask me, you know, what is my favorite golf course? I usually answer, Ireland is my favorite golf course. You know, there are so many great golf experiences in the Emerald Isle. It is very difficult to pick just one or two or three. So I say golfing in Ireland is my favorite. And this morning, we'll talk with Allison Metcalf, who is a vice president, Tourism Ireland, about all the championships that will be played in Ireland in the coming months and years. A lot going on there. We'll talk about why there are so many top professionals that come from this small country. And we'll also look at the best way to plan a golf trip there. And then we'll visit with Tiernan Byrne of Club Choice Ireland, who focuses on trips in the southeast of Ireland. He can plan trips all over and help you, but he'll give us some details on courses to play and then some of the sightseeing in the southeast that is worth doing. And yes, please, if you go over there, definitely leave some time to do some sightseeing because there's so much to see. And yeah, I mean, I left last Sunday, came back Saturday, and our trip started playing Royal Dublin, which is the oldest links course in Ireland, founded in 1885. And I enjoyed this very much. It's very manageable. The greens were mostly flat, very fair. The course, they don't have the high dunes that dot many of the links courses that you'll see in the west and northwest of Ireland, but we just had a beautiful day there. There wasn't too much wind, thank goodness. And if you love golf history, touring the clubhouse at Royal Dublin is a must. You can spend hours in this clubhouse. You see photographs and all kinds of history there about the club. The British Army used it as a base during World War I. And the member that I played with there, Barry Dillon, he showed us a bunker that is still on the course that the British Army used. And after the war, the British Army actually gave the club £10,000, which was a ton of money back then. And in 1920, famed architect Harry Colt designed the layout that is used to this day. And there's just a lot of memorabilia there on the legendary Irish golfer Christy O'Connor, who was their club professional and who represented Great Britain and Ireland on 10 straight Ryder Cup teams. So it's just a real treat to walk around that club and to play that course. And then on Tuesday, we played the K Club, which is south of Dublin in the county of Kildare. And I was there back in 2006 to cover the Ryder Cup, which the European team dominated that year. It was just a mud fest, I remember. Rainy, muddy most of the week back then. But this past Tuesday, we had a great day. The sun was out. It was absolutely beautiful. The DP World Tour, they held a press conference to preview the Irish Open, which will be held there September 6th and 9th. Rory McIlroy will be playing in it this year. Another Irishman, Seamus Power, will also be playing. Seamus, you've seen, he's had a good couple years. He's ranked 52 in the world now, and he was on hand at the press conference to talk about the Irish Open, and I asked him a few questions about it. Talk about the Irish Open. Have you played the K-Club before?
I have. I've not played an Irish Open here, but I've played the K-Club lots. Yeah, I mean, it's just such an iconic venue in Ireland that you're going to play it any chance you get. And I've been able to play a different Irish Open, so to combine that and the venue here, it's going to be a special event here in 6 weeks' time.
Arnold Palmer Design, not a Lynx course, no. but very special. I remember being here in 2006 for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I wasn't here for it, but I remember watching. It wasn't the best weather that week, but yeah, I mean, it's just an amazing venue, incredible finish. You saw Rory here in the Irish Open in 16, hitting some amazing shots, and obviously the Ryder Cup stuff. And there's been so many big events here over the year. It's just one of those venues that's made to host big tournaments, and it's going to be another one coming up.
And I understand Rory McIlroy is going to play this year in the Irish Open.
He is, yeah. So I guess technically he's kind of defending champ at this course, so I think it'll be cool. Yeah, I mean, look, Rory is... He's the biggest, might be the biggest name in world golf, but he's certainly the biggest in Irish golf. And to have him here is going to be so special. And, you know, an opportunity for Irish fans to see him in person. It's, if anyone who hasn't seen him hit a ball in person, it's absolutely, it's breathtaking, to be honest, even for his another pro. But, yeah, it's going to be great to have him here. It means so much. It changes the whole scope of the tournament. And I think he's probably going to fancy his chances around here again.
I like the K-Club very much. It's an Arnold Palmer design, as you heard. But, you know, when I go to Ireland, I truly prefer to play links courses. Links courses, to me, is what Irish golf is all about. And I can't get enough of playing links courses. Certainly the wind and the weather come into play more often than not. But the ball hits the ground hard, keeps rolling. You have to know just where to land the ball to avoid all the pot bunkers. And you have to know that bump and run shot. Use that as your approach to the greens. Obviously avoid the dunes and try to keep it down the middle. But it's normally just breathtaking. It's beautiful because you're playing along the ocean or the Irish Sea. It's very inspirational golf to me, and I play some of my best golf on links courses. So after that, we visited the European Club, which is extraordinary, and the owner and designer of the course is the same guy, a former top sports writer in Ireland, Pat Ruddy, and Pat is just full of wonderful stories and poetry. He's so well-read. He loves to share his passion for the game and for the game's history with everyone who comes into the club. And he has a library at this course with over 7,500 golf books in it. And, you know, I think he's in his 80s now, and he is as lovely and as talkative as ever. And we'll be talking more about the European Club in the 840 segment, but it's a difficult layout because of the narrow fairways and the high dunes that outline many of the holes. But as Pat loves to say, piddle, piddle down the middle, and you'll have no trouble at all. The greens are perfect. It's just a pleasure to play the European Club and to visit with the great Pat Ruddy. Rory McIlroy, he won an amateur event there when he was 16. Tiger has been there. In fact, Tiger, I believe, still has a course record there. He shot a 67 years ago. Padraig Harrington has been there to prepare to play in the Open Championship, and it certainly helped as Padraig, as you know, won back-to-back Open Championships in 2007 and 2008. Just a really fun golf course to play. And we also played Rosslare Golf Club. That's a links course in the sunny southeast, and it's truly one of those hidden gems in Ireland. It was founded in 1905, and Brian Hall, a member there, was my partner. Excellent player. I got quite lucky to have him as my partner. He had 4 birdies that day. And then afterward, we were treated to just a wonderful lunch by the members. And as I mentioned, that's one of the best parts of these trips to Ireland. The Irish are always so happy to welcome us, and their hospitality is second to none. All right, so we'll talk about these different courses and Ireland as a whole as an incredible golf destination. In a few minutes, we'll get into it more. But some of the top sports stories, golf stories this week, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, he's back in the office after being out for over a month with an undisclosed illness, which occurred about a week after the announcement on June 6th that the tour is partnering with the Saudi Public Investment Fund, which backs LIV Golf. Monahan sent a memo to the tour players that the tour is working on a player benefit program that would reward the players who were loyal to the PGA Tour and who did not jump over to LIV Golf. There are no details to share as of yet about how the players will be compensated and when. It all depends on the agreement being approved. But in the memo, Monahan said the financial compensation to the players who remained loyal to the PGA Tour would be financially significant. He also said that the tour has organized a task force that would create potential pathways back to the PGA Tour for LIV players who wish to reapply in the future. Here's my opinion on all this. I can't see players who are well compensated on LIV, and all of them are, really wanting to come back to the PGA Tour unless, and here's the biggest part, unless LIV ceases to exist and the PGA Tour and the reps from the Saudi Public Investment Fund, who would be the majority investor, come up with another league as part of their partnership. And I think ultimately, my opinion, LIV will go away, and whatever is created with the new company that the PGA Tour and the Saudi PIF are partnering on will be created so that the PGA Tour is in control and ensures that it is done their way. That's just my opinion. It was also announced this week that the task force that would create pathways back to the PGA Tour for LIV golfers will be headed by Andy Petzter, the PGA Tour Chief Tournaments and Competitions Officer, along with Jason Gore, Chief Player Officer, and Nera Shetty, the Executive VP and Vice Counsel. They also appointed Colin Neville of the RAINE Group. It's R-A-I-N-E Group. He will be the third-party special advisor who will be somewhat of a liaison between the tour and the players as it pertains to communications during what Jay Monahan said was, in quote, complicated and time-sensitive negotiation with PIF, end quote. Colin Neville led the effort a few years ago for a rival golf league called the Premier Golf League, which the PGA Tour turned down. And, okay, here's my opinion again on this. This appointment tells me that the PGA Tour, in this new partnership with the Saudis, in that entity that they termed NewCo, would come up with their own league, and that they perhaps are using Colin Neville to organize that effort, or at least, you know, hear his ideas. And the guy who came to them, he was the guy who came to them with the Premier Golf League idea back in 2020. It's been my understanding that Jay Monahan has always disliked LIV Golf, and it's my opinion that the PGA Tour will eventually do away with LIV and come up with something else, which could be somewhat similar. But anyway, that's me reading between the lines of what all these news stories are all about that came out this past week. They also announced the PGA Tour that they will not support the USGA and RNA ball rollback that those two governing bodies proposed earlier this year. The ball would decrease the distance for elite players. That's what this ball rollback, it's called the model local rule. And this new ball still could be used perhaps in various major championships if you know they approve it. But the USGA and the RNA basically are getting feedback during this period until August. And if the new rule is implemented, it would go into effect in 2026. My opinion, I think a rolled back version of a golf ball, it doesn't work. I don't understand why would you change the ball. Most of the players are against the idea. I don't see that it would make a big difference. And using different balls in tour events versus major championships, I think, would be difficult to regulate, and I don't know how effective that would be. So I was never really crazy about that idea. And in other news, Senator Ron Wyden, the Democrat from Oregon and also the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, he introduced two bills this past week, basically pushing to end tax breaks for sports organizations with assets exceeding $500 million and ending tax breaks to funds from countries that have more than $100 billion invested globally. Overall, I am in favor of this, but we'll talk about it more in future shows. I don't know why all these wealthy organizations would be tax-free. All right, final round this afternoon at the 3M Open in the Twin Cities. You have Lee Hodges. He shot a 566 yesterday. He's at 20 under. He has a 5-shot lead over JT Poston. Justin Thomas did not make the cut. He entered this tournament hoping to play well enough to qualify for that FedEx Cup playoffs and play well enough to get a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup team, but it's his fifth missed cut in his last seven starts. He is currently 14th in the Ryder Cup standings. Fred Couples, who is a vice captain for the U.S. Ryder Cup team, he said that Max Homa, Cameron Young, and Jordan Spieth are locks for captain's picks. That would be three of the six captain's picks. The other top six players will qualify point-wise. They're automatically in. And point-wise, you have Scotty Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman is third, thanks to his Open Championship win last Sunday. You have Brooks Koepka is fourth right now, Xander Schauffele is fifth, and Patrick Cantlay is sixth. The top six on the points list after the BMW Championship will earn spots on the U.S. roster. So it will be interesting to see if Justin Thomas will get a captain's pick. He's been slumping big time. The Evian Championship, and you have Celine Boutier. She had carded a 4-under-67 to maintain her Friday lead. At 11-under, she leads Nasa Hatioka by three heading into today's final round, and they're actually playing right now. The final round is underway, and she is 2-under through four holes. I looked a few minutes ago, and at 13-under overall, Boutier leads Hatioka by four shots now. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, talk Irish golf with Allison Metcalf, VP Tourism Ireland. But first, let me tell you that IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. IB Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent, moisture-sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive Icefill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. IB Cool apparel also features UPF 50 plus sun protection, colorful, stylish, ultra-soft fabrics with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at ibkul.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf. Glad you can join us. Beautiful Sunday morning. And joining me right now to talk about Ireland, a most special golf destination, is Allison Metcalf of Tourism Ireland. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thanks, Anne. Always great to be with you.
It's always great to connect with Allison Metcalf. And Ireland has become such a popular golf destination, and in my opinion, there are many reasons for this, one being that one-third of the world's links courses are in Ireland, and that's an amazing statistic given that Ireland is not that big of a country, Allison.
That's right. I mean, we have 400 golf courses around the island, but to have that kind of, you know, one-third of the world's links courses, and of course, that's what Americans love to travel for, that they are unique, and I think it's something that's very special.
And each region has lots to offer and lots of diversity in each region. When you're suggesting places, you know, to visit in Ireland, how does one put together a golf trip? Because there's such an abundance of, you know, riches there as far as parkland courses and links courses. What's the strategy? What should the strategy be in planning a trip, do you think?
Well, I guess it depends whether it's a first-time visit or it's a second-time visit. But I think a good strategy is always do your research and engage the services of a specialist golf tour operator, because they can really save you a lot of time. They can take care of everything for you, tea times, your accommodation, your transportation. But when planning a trip, I think it's important not to try and sort of do the whole country too, because people look at the island of Ireland and they think, oh, it's not that big. But from a golfing perspective, it really divides quite nicely into sort of four regions. You know, so you might, if you're flying into Shannon, you might look at a golfing itinerary around the southwest. Or you might come up to the northwest. You've got the southwest, the northwest, and on Dublin, then you can access obviously Northern Ireland or the southeast. So try and sort of focus in on one or two regions, because that way you'll get to experience some of the best signature courses, but you'll also get access to some of the more hidden gems. So obviously some of those golf courses that are, you know, really sort of popular with Americans, obviously like Ballybunion, some of the signature courses, the Hinch, Waterville, certainly in the southwest, and then in Dublin area, you've got Portmarnock and the K Club. And what's becoming increasingly popular, and there's fantastic golf up in the northwest as well, and often less discovered for a second-time visitor. So think about some of those courses in Donegal. Think about, you know, Carn in County Mayo and Enniscrone in Sligo. There's some fabulous golf up in Donegal, Rosspenna, the new St. Patrick's Day links course. And you've also got Nairn an Port New. There's been huge investment in redesigning those courses. So think about sort of getting off the beaten track if you're if it's a second time visit. And then, of course, Northern Ireland, well, you've got Royal Port Rush, you've got Royal County Down, and of course, you've got other links courses like Ardglass, which is a fantastic course. I know, Anne, you love that one. And you've got Castle Rock, and you've got sports trip up in the North Coast. So there's, I would say, focus on two regions. Don't try and overdo it. So you get to enjoy the golf, but you also get to enjoy the 19th hole. And I think that's what makes a golf and vacation island so special. It's about the golf, world-class, naturally, but it's also about the hospitality in that famous 19th hole.
And the crack, right? C-R-A-I-C.
I'm glad you qualified that, exactly. It's that fun.
Which means good fun in Ireland.
Good fun. Yes, it does. And there's plenty of that around.
And another reason, you know, there's such variety of accommodations in Ireland. You can stay in castles. You can stay in manors. There are affordable hotels and B&Bs. There's so many options as far as accommodations go.
Absolutely. There's something for every style of traveler, every budget. And again, I think with careful planning, depending upon which regions you decide to target, you can, of course, book it yourself. But I would certainly recommend dealing with one of the specialist golf tour operators, because they can save you a lot of time and hassle, and they make it sort of turnkey for you. But yes, lots of great accommodation options. And, of course, lots of great places to eat as well, and that's something that some people don't always realize in Ireland, that the culinary offering now is can rival anywhere in Europe. There's been a huge focus on and developing our culinary offerings. So great food wherever you stay, whether you're staying in some of the five-star castles, whether you're staying in B&Bs or some of the smaller hotels, wherever you go, you will get a good culinary experience. There's a real commitment to using local ingredients and producing local dishes.
Oh, absolutely. Rory, our fearless leader in Ireland this past week, took us to some incredible restaurants. And we every meal just was unbelievable. So the culinary certainly is worth mentioning as well. Let's talk about some of the championships that Ireland will be hosting. In the near future, we have the Irish Open, which I talked about briefly in my intro, September 6th to 9th at the K Club in Kildare. And I understand that they actually are going to be hosting the Irish Open there in 2025 and 2027 as well. So it's a
That's
big
right.
commitment
yes.
for this Arnold Palmer design.
It is, yes. So as you said, it's going to be held at in 25 and 2027. Other tournaments, obviously, we're hosting the Ladies Irish Open, which is the KPMG Irish Open at Drumoulin Castle. So that's at the end of August, 31st of August, the 3rd of September. And I think that's a really interesting one for us as the ladies. Golf game really grows, and also Ireland's sort of profile within that with golfers such as Leona Maguire doing extremely well on the PGA Tour, also Stephanie Meadow. So that's another tournament. Of course, the big one is the Open Championship coming back to Royal Portrush in 2025. Very excited about that, following the success of the 2019 Open. And I think in 2019, that really sort of reestablished Portrush, put them back on the map as being a world-class course and back in the rotation. So to see it come back so soon is really testament to the success of that. And then as we fast forward to 2027 again, we have the Ryder Cup back in Ireland at Adair Manor in County Limerick. So lots happening. The world's eyes will be on Ireland, on the golf courses as well as the golfers.
Just so many huge events there. As you mentioned, Irish Women's Open at Drumoulin Castle, which is just an incredible luxury property. And the golf course underwent a £2 million upgrade prior to they're hosting the 2022 tournament. And they're doing more renovations ahead of this 2023 event. And as you mentioned, Leona Maguire, she will be playing. And boy, what a last couple of years Leona Maguire has had. Then you mentioned the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. What a great venue for the Open Championship, and what a great testament, Allison, that they played it there in 2019, and they're going to be hosting again in 2025. That's not too many years in between. So great testament to how well the club and the area really handled the Open Championship, right?
Absolutely, and plans are very much underway now for the 2025 game. And I think what is also interesting is with that, we're seeing a lot of new hotels opening up around that sort of Causeway coastal area up around Portrush, new investment in accommodation. So they'll be well able to accommodate more international visitors wanting to take in the tournament. But it was a great success. And I think it was also, that the whole of the island of Ireland embraced it too. So not only did we have international visitors there, but it was a huge huge turnout. And of course, 2019 was obviously, it was it was capped off with an Irish winner, with Shane Lowry winning. So there's always a lot of pressure on the Irish golfers when the Open is played on the island of Ireland. And of course, there's always a lot of pressure on the Irish golfers at their home tournament. And it's great that Rory, as you mentioned, the Irish Open is coming up, the Horizon Irish Open at the K Club. He will be back to play. And for some of your listeners out there, they might remember that Rory won the Irish Open back in 2006 at the K Club. So of course he knows very well.
And you mentioned the Ryder Cup at Adair Manor in 2027, not too far away. And oh my gosh, what a venue Adair Manor is. I went there. I know the Canes, the Irish American family who they lived in New Jersey, and they owned the manor and then hired Robert Trent Jones Sr. to design the course originally. And it was a gorgeous parkland layout. And then J.P. McManus, you know, one of the wealthiest men in Ireland, he bought it and had Tom Fazio redesign it. And they call it the Augusta National of Ireland. I mean, it is so pristine and so perfect that nothing is out of place on that golf course there. And it's a 5-star castle property as well. Just incredible, Adair Manor.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it really has sort of, with all of that investment that you talked about, it really has sort of propelled, I think, Adair Manor to global recognition as a great host for tournaments such as the Ryder Cup. And also worth pointing out that its accessibility to Shannon Airport, I mean, provides a wonderful gateway to the Southwest. Whether you're coming to the Ryder Cup or you're just coming to play golf in the Southwest, I mean, Shannon offers a great opportunity to take in Adair, but also other courses such as Lahinch, Doonbeg, Ballybunion, Waterville, and Tralee. So I know that's important to golfers. Shannon is a great gateway for the Southwest and the West as a whole, including Adair.
Sure, and direct flights from JFK to both Shannon and Dublin airports, right?
Yes, Shannon, this year we have access from New York, Boston, and Chicago. And we hope, obviously, to see that access improve as we move into 24 and 25. But pretty good access right now. And, of course, lots of direct air access from 16 gateways across the United States into Dublin. So, again, Dublin is it's a great road from Dublin right across the middle to Galway, and you can go north or south on the Wild Atlantic Way, or, of course, you can head south of Dublin or north of Dublin. So the golfing regions of Ireland are all very accessible.
Yeah, and it's actually faster to fly from JFK to Ireland than it is to fly from JFK to Los Angeles. It's a quicker
flight.
That's
right. Way more braggability. Depending upon what your viewpoint is. If you're a golfer, yes. Maybe for other things, maybe not. I don't know. But yes, you're absolutely right. The ease and convenience of access is obviously critical.
And before I let you go, Alison, I wanted to talk about just the caliber of golfers to come out of Ireland. Is so unique for a small country, you know, from Paul McGinley, Darren Clark, Graham McDowell, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry, Seamus Power, Leona Maguire, as you mentioned. Why do you think that's the case, that Ireland has produced so many top professional players?
It's a great question, and it's a question I get asked quite a lot. I think, firstly, there's a really strong golfing structure in Ireland. So the Golfing Union of Ireland recently branded itself actually as Golf Ireland. They're the body that minister golf north and south. So golf is played at a junior level, you know, around the island of Ireland. So you would have had like Rory McIlroy playing with Shane Lowry, for example. But at junior level, I mean, amateur events are played on some of the great links courses, I mean, that Ireland has from an early age. And there's huge investment in the junior game. So if you're, you know, you're a junior and you're showing promise and you've got talent, you're going to be fed into the system. And I think that plays a big role. And then you have this opportunity, if you come through that system, to represent your province first. It could be Ulster or Munster, depending on where you're from. And then if you come through that sort of system, you will then obviously have the opportunity, you know, to play for Ireland at an amateur level. So I think that's a fundamental reason why we have so many golfers for such a small destination. There's a good golfing structure there. It's very organized, and there's a significant investment in that. And you know, the ladies' game or the girls' game follows a similar kind of approach. Perhaps, you know, has not been as well developed in the past, but again is coming on leaps and bounds. So I think this is structure around it, plus the great golf courses, and juniors get to play those golf courses from a very early age.
Absolutely. It's so accessible to everyone. I mean, it's kid-friendly, female-friendly. Juniors naturally kind of pick up the sport when they're young. And even if you want to, if a visitor wants to play a private course over there, you know, it's just a matter of a tour operator or somebody just making the connection. And they're very welcoming to non-members,
that's
which
right.
I think is so different than over here. So,
well, I think that's a very, very good point. I think it's, you know, that's the other point, though. After make it, it's a very inclusive game. I mean, it's not, you know, I suppose it's not as such an elitist game as it can be in some countries. It's an inclusive game, and you know, schoolboys, you know, they go out and play in their summer holidays and things, and it's very accessible. And there's lots of great golf, and it's you know, it's affordable. So that is obviously plays a big part. Plus, I think, you know, at the end of the day, the Irish just love sport in general. So and golf's a big part of that, but and the great outdoors. So I think that plays a part. But to your point, it's accessible, and for overseas golfers, you're absolutely right. The private, you know, the private clubs open up, you know, their sheets to visiting golfers. Have a number of tee times throughout the season, and yes, you can go direct, or a great way in is through the tour operators, who obviously have access to those.
Always a pleasure, Alison Metcalf. Thanks so much for joining us, and I hope to visit with you again soon.
Okay, Anne, thanks very much.
Thanks so much. All right, coming up, Tiernan Byrne of Club Choice Ireland, a tour operator. He focuses on the southeast of Ireland. He will join us in a few minutes to talk about some of the top golf destinations in and around Dublin. But first, let me tell you, as the brand ambassador for Ivy Cole, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture sensor fabric keep me cool on the links, Ivy Cole garments also feature UPF 50 plus sun protection. All this plus a wide variety of colorful and stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skorts, and dresses. And men can choose from many styles as well. Look your best. Protect your skin. Ivy Cole. Learn more at ibkul.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Anne Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori, and we continue on our Irish golf theme and welcome in Tiernan Byrne of Club Choice Ireland. Tiernan is a tour operator in the southeast of Ireland and joins us now. Hey, Tiernan, welcome to Talking Golf.
Hey, Anne, how are you doing? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and where exactly are you right now?
I am going to get a sneaky round of golf in this afternoon, Anne. I'm actually on my way to the European Club, which I know you know well.
Oh, my gosh. We had just an incredible time at the European Club. Just spectacular. Give Pat Ruddy our best, the former Irish sports writer turned course designer. Unbelievable that he designed and owns that golf course.
Yeah, yeah, and a character to boot. So I'll tell him you said hello.
So now all the regions in Ireland just have outstanding links and parkland courses to play. But as Alison Metcalf kind of advised in our first segment, it's probably best when you're planning a trip over there to pick one or at the most two different regions. Otherwise, you know, you're driving all over the place and there's just so many courses to experience in each region. So tell us about the southeast of Ireland, that region, Tiernan.
Well, look, thanks a million for having me on. So the east and southeast is a region that we would look after for all our incoming guests. And we're very lucky in that it is blessed with some of probably the world's best links and also some stunning parkland resort courses. From a geography point of view, you're talking about Dublin being on the very east coast. So from kind of an hour north of Dublin down to kind of 2 hours south, we have some trophy courses that you'll be familiar with, the likes of a Portmarnock, the K Club, you'll have Royal Dublin, the Island, the European Club, Mount Juliet, which just hosted our Irish Open 2 years in a row. And the accessibility into Dublin Airport is a big factor because you can land in Dublin Airport and within 40 minutes you can be hitting your first tee shot. And then the variety of courses that we'll have here on the east and the southeast region as well is something we're very proud of. When you look actually at the country of Ireland, we've got over 400 courses, and I know you've played a good few of them. And about 50% of the top 100 courses in Ireland sit within our east and southeast region. So it's got something for everybody. So when we're speaking to the customers who are thinking about coming into Ireland, like Alison said, we're trying to make sure we tailor their trip to suit their time, their budget, you know, their abilities, whether it's their first time to the country, whether they're regular visitors. And not all courses suit everybody. And luckily, in this part of the country, we've got a great range of golf. And in terms of pricing point as well, it's something there for everybody.
Right. So you ask a couple questions, you know, to the group that's coming over. And then based on, you know, their level or their interests, you can custom make put together a trip perfectly for that particular group. Men and women, different golf abilities, et cetera, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and that's the fun part from my side is that, you know, you spend the first probably 2 to 3 conversations via or email or Zoom getting to know the group and the people that are coming over so that any good tour operator is building the tour to suit the customer, not to try and shoehorn in a particular course or a region. And those initial conversations is where you get to find out, well, look, what kind of courses are going to suit, what kind of travel times they're interested in. We had a group last week, and you know, there were 36 holes a day, all the bucket list top trophy clubs, doing a lot of just seeing golf courses and bedrooms, and that's about the size of it. And then we just said goodbye to a group this morning of 18 from Hilton Head, and they were a much more relaxed tour. They did some heritage stuff, some cultural stuff, a bit of food in there. They probably played maybe only 4 rounds of golf in their 7 days. So either end of the spectrum is possible, but that's where those conversations at the beginning are so important, because you want to make sure that the tour you're putting together for the group is the right one and it fits them.
Boy, those 36 hole a day guys and ladies, that's intense. But you know, we took a day to go sightseeing. We saw the Hookhead Lighthouse, which is the oldest operational lighthouse in the world, which dates back to the 13th century. I mean, I love my lighthouses, but this one dates back to the 13th century, which is incredible. And then we also went to the Dunbrody famine ship, which is a very sad history of the millions of Irish who perished during the potato famine in the 1840s, and you know, the story of, you know, that just the treacherous ship excursions across the Atlantic for thousands of Irish, and so many Irish perished during that journey. So all that history, to me, I think is important to see. But again, if you're a golfer and you just want to play golf, you can custom make those kind of trips. Or if you want to, you know, play 18 holes a day and then maybe take a day or two to go sightseeing, you can organize that as well.
Yeah. Well, I love my golf. I'm a big advocate for showing off Ireland when you're here. That it's not just a golf tour; it's more of a golf Irish experience. So that you do take some time to go see some of those sites, because you're in what we call as Ireland's ancient east, and just the history that we have in this neck of the woods here. It shouldn't be just forgotten. You know, you could just drive from golf course to hotel for 7 days and it could just pass you by. So we like to try and build in a bit of that when we can. So whether it be the afternoon or maybe just taking a full day of just doing some soft sightseeing or excursions, we have some personalized tour guides that work with us and they just bring it all to life. And then another important part, actually, in terms of building the tour that we've learned from our experience is don't be afraid to schedule in some downtime. You know, give people an afternoon off or an evening off just to find their feet and explore the towns or the city they're staying in, so that it's not all scheduled out in front of you. You know, go get lost in the likes of Wexford Town. Like I know you didn't. If you end up in a pub, you end up in a pub, Anne. There's no fault in that.
Yeah, I love it. The pub crawl and just walking around those little villages to me is so important. And I love driving around Ireland. And a lot of you have to be pretty brave to drive the roads over there. If you know you're driving on the opposite side of the road with the steering wheel on the opposite side in the car, and you have to be pretty alert and pretty experienced. But you also, you know, obviously have coaches with drivers. And for people who don't want to drive, you don't have to worry about that, right?
No, yeah, and like, we do. We get the kind of the fours and eights who are brave enough or maybe done it before, and we'll hire a couple of rental vans for them, and they'll go off, and they I suppose have a little bit more flexibility in where they go and what they see and do. Our core business, particularly from the North American groups that are coming in, is that we'll have a private coach with guide to accompany them around, because you've seen those on the small roads. Those guys are good at what they do when they're taking those corners, and they add a bit to it as well, you know, because they're not just driving a coach or driving a bus. They're part of the tour, you know. They let people know what they're seeing out the windows as they make it from the golf course to the hotel or where it might be, and they're a big part of it as well, you know. So you've got to make sure you're working with good people, because ultimately they're you know, your clients are in their hands as well. But Ireland is a small country, you know. So when we're bringing our groups around, we try not to have anything more than kind of a 90-minute drive between certain points. You know, we just want to kind of build a tour so that you're not sitting on a bus for too long. You know, you're here to experience the place, so we want you out of there and either playing golf or in the pub or eating something nice or, you know, traveling through town.
Yeah, and you know, the courses are close to each other, and you, just when you think you've played the most beautiful, incredible course, you know, 20 minutes down the road is something more spectacular. So as I was mentioning to Allison Metcalf, there is an abundance of riches, you know, as far as golf and history and culture and culinary. And I like your advice, Tiernan, of, you know, having downtime. Allow yourself some downtime, because going into the pubs and listening to the Irish music, and one of my favorite stories to share is, you know, I go to Doombeg often as an original member at Doombeg Golf Club, and you know, I'd go into the pubs there, and in one pub, you know, Patrick would be sitting in the same stool. Every night I'd go there, he'd be there, and you know, I'd go in and then requested him. He has an incredible voice, and requested him to sing "Oh Danny Boy" for me. And he got up, and when you have a singer in Ireland that you know, they get up and sing, the entire rest of the pub is silent and gives that singer, that performer, you know, the respect to sing. And, oh my God, this guy has the voice of an angel. And I had tears. He had tears coming down his face just singing the song. And he brought me to tears, and it was just those memories, that culture, and you know, the music and everything that goes along with your visit to Ireland, I think is so important to enjoy, as well as the golf.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. And those, they're kind of spontaneous. You know, it's kind of when you do get lost and you find yourself in just one of our small little pubs and bars, and a guy will break out his tin whistle or a, you know, of accordion, and you know, something will just special will spark and happen. And you know, it is part of our culture. We're very proud of it. We don't take it for granted. And it, you know, there's no, it can't be contrived or manufactured. That something like that's just a natural part of Ireland. And it's great to see it still alive and doing well in our towns and villages. And they love seeing the visitors come in and taking part and enjoying it with them. Because that's why we're doing it, you know. We like to show off that side of our culture.
Well, I really enjoyed playing your home course on Friday, Rosslea. They're very proud of you over there, Tiernan Byrne. Thank you so much for sharing some of your insight to the southeast of Ireland. Golf in Ireland's ancient east, as you say in your brochure.
Yeah.
And definitely check it out at clubchoiceireland.com. Thanks so much, Tiernan Byrne, and hope to see you again soon.
Thanks, Anne. Talk to you soon.
My thanks to Tiernan Byrne, to Allison Metcalf of Tourism Ireland, and to Ed Erzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Anne LaGoria is brought to you by Ivy Cole Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology along with UPF 50+ sun protection. Visit ibkol.com to learn more. Hey, stay tuned for Mark Melusis, and looking forward to visiting with you again soon next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Anne LaGoria.